Morning, everyone. So as we come to the end of this liturgical year, in fact, this is the last Sunday that we're going to see green for a while. Green goes away next week with our patronal feast of Christ the King, and then right after that, as hard as it is to believe, we begin Advent. We begin a new liturgical year here in 2 weeks. And it's fitting because at the end of every liturgical year, I mean, especially here in the United States, right, as the days become, I don't have to tell you, as the days become colder, right, as the leaves continue to fall from the tree, as everything around us seems to be decaying, dying, preparing for yet a new year, the church has us reflect upon the end times. Every single year as we come to this last Sunday in ordinary time, we reflect upon those last things. And today, the church gives us a couple readings to really truly reflect upon those. First, that first reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. And then secondly, from St. Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, which is known kind of as the eschatological discourse of Jesus. Right, eschatology, meaning those last things. And as I'm sure I don't have to tell you, you see these readings today, and certainly on the surface, they seem to be rather dark. They're not exactly the most warm, cuddly readings that we'll see. But in fact, in order for us to truly understand what's going on, we got to dive a little bit deeper. We got to go beneath the surface of just what we would see there on the surface of these readings. Because both of them, they share in a common genre, right? And that common genre is called apocalyptic, right? This is called the apocalyptic genre of Scripture. And I know what you're thinking. Anytime we hear the word apocalypse, right, we think about, you know, fire raining down from the skies. We think about everything on fire. We think about complete and utter chaos. We think about that. I think it was the movie. It was like 2012 or something where, you know, the Statue of Liberty gets, you know, killed by a giant tidal wave or whatever. That's what we think about when we think about the word apocalypse. Right? It doesn't bring those warm, fuzzy feelings to us. I mean, and partially because, you know, when we see these readings, right, they fall in that genre. They aren't warm. They aren't cuddly. They aren't fuzzy. But in fact, there's something even deeper to this type of reading that we really have to get at if we really want to understand what the prophet Daniel is saying and what Jesus is telling us as well. So, like I said, when we think of the apocalypse, unfortunately, I think we've kind of lost some ground in what this really means because, in a certain sense, it's kind of been hijacked by our Protestant brothers and sisters. In fact, it cracks me up because it seems like every 4 or 5 years, you know, some Protestant, they finally unlocked the end times. You know, they figured it out. They looked through Revelation. They put things together. And it seems like every few years, everyone tells us that the end's coming. And here we still are. So what's going on? What really is happening in this genre of the apocalypse? Well, first and foremost, we have to understand what that word apocalypse means, right? And it doesn't mean chaos. It doesn't mean, like I said, fire raining down from the sky. But if we translate it literally, it means a revelation or an unveiling, right? Revelation, you know, the last book in the Bible, the whole thing falls under the genre of the apocalypse. And so really what that means is we have to ask ourselves, what is being unveiled here? What's going on in these two types of readings? First from the prophet Daniel, and then secondly from the gospel. Well, in the first reading, the prophet Daniel, it was written sometime probably around the 2nd century BC. And the prophet, he's writing about what's going on, what's happening surrounding him. And at this time, there's a huge turmoil between the Jews and the Greeks, between the Druze and the Hellenists. The Hellenists were trying to come in, and they were trying to upend everything that the Jews stood for. They were trying to upend that culture. They were trying to bring in the Greek culture. And so what we saw was it was a time of giant struggle. It was a time of a giant battle that was going on between these two. And so we see this vision, this apocalyptic vision that Daniel has. I mean, ultimately talking about the triumph of God, the triumph of God over evil. And in fact, if we look at the Bible, if we look at the Bible from start to finish, that is that common story that goes throughout every single one of the books from start to finish. Right? It's this struggle of good versus evil. I mean, as soon as sin entered into the world, as soon as we saw the serpent in the Garden of Eden, from that very moment forward, we saw that struggle between good and evil, between Satan and God. And so Daniel, he's just pointing this out. He's pointing out what's happening with his people in the second century. What's happening with that struggle? Then we fast forward. We fast forward now to Mark's gospel, that 13th chapter that we see today. And in fact, and before we can even get to this passage here, we need to figure out a little bit more of the context of what's going on. Because where they are right now, this is Jesus immediately outside of Jerusalem. Right? He's on the Mount of Olives, preparing now for that triumphal entry, preparing now for the beginning of Holy Week. So Jesus, he knows that the end is near. He knows that what is coming, right, that fulfillment of the whole purpose of the incarnation, that's coming up. And so he's there just outside of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives with his apostles, with his disciples. And so one of the great blessings, you know, for me as a priest of the Diocese of Wichita and over the course of the last few years is during our last year of seminary, every single one of us has a chance to spend 3 weeks in the Holy Land. And so I was there. I was at the very place where this scene takes place in the Mount of Olives. Because what's right across from that, not even 500 yards away, is the great Jewish temple. And the Jewish temple was arguably, certainly during that time, probably the greatest archaeological feat that anybody had ever seen. So they talk about it. This temple was made of limestones, some of which weighed 500 tons. So to put that in perspective, the heaviest of stones that you see in the Egyptian temples is 11 tons. So people, archaeologists, they still have no idea how on earth the Jewish people were able to move these things, how they were able to construct this temple. And so what's amazing is you have people coming in from all over the area, from all over the region, from all over the known world at the time, to come see this great architectural feat that these Jews had put up. And what's more important is this temple, this was seen as the center of the universe. Right? This temple was the place where God literally resided. Right? In the Holy of Holies, in the heart of this temple, was the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God himself was. Right, this was the center of everything that the Jews believed. And just moments before we pick up in this gospel text that we have today, Jesus standing there in the Mount of Olives, 500 yards away from this massive, incredible building where God, as I said, literally resided to them. Jesus tells them that during their lifetime, not one stone will be left unturned. Everything here, everything that you see, it will collapse. It will be gone. And think about that for a second. I mean, like I said, I talk about these massive stones. I mean, for them to try and comprehend what's going on, nonetheless, what it symbolically represented, the fact that that was where God resided, for them to say that during their lifetime this would be gone, that was something that they couldn't even begin to make sense of. So now, I paint this large picture for you because this is where we pick up today in the gospel. Because this right here, in order for us to understand what Jesus is trying to get at, and even more importantly than that, to understand what this apocalyptic genre really means, we need all of this background. Because what Jesus ultimately is saying, what Jesus is unveiling, is a new world order. Jesus is telling them that everything that they had thought that they had known before this, everything that they had thought that they'd known to be true, all of that was going to be turned entirely upside down. Because in reality, what he was saying was, this temple, everything that you know here, this is not the center of the universe. But in fact, it's me. See, what Jesus was preparing to do was to unveil the whole purpose of the incarnation, to unveil the whole purpose of him being sent here. What Jesus was preparing to do was to unveil that behind his humanity was God himself. And that this temple was nothing in comparison to him. Because think about it. What do we hear today in this gospel? We hear that Jesus, he's talking about the time where the sky will go black, right? Where the stars will fall out of the sky. You see, look, it's no coincidence that at the very moment when Jesus is crucified, that we hear that in the middle of the afternoon, the sky goes dark. It's no coincidence that the moment Jesus dies on the cross, that's the moment where the curtain veil in the temple is split in two. Jesus is saying that at that very moment where Jesus offers his life on the cross, that now everything that he stood for, all of that will be unveiled in all of its glory. That's what Jesus was revealing to them. Was that all of a sudden now that this new world order, this was being rung in because Jesus offered himself as the one true sacrifice, as the high priest. That new world order that was now coming to fruition because of him. You see, ultimately what Jesus was revealing was the fact that this constant struggle of good versus evil that we see throughout the entirety of Scripture, that all of a sudden now, good has triumphed over evil. End of story. That is what Jesus Christ came to reveal. And that's why these readings, even though on their face they seem to be so dark, they are the source of our hope. Because it's here that Jesus Christ reveals who he truly is. Because unveiled beneath that humanity is his divinity. You see, my friends, that is the good news. The good news is that good triumphs over evil. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have our work to do. Jesus, right, he left the church behind. He entrusted the church to all of us to carry on that struggle of good versus evil until, as we say in the creed, until Jesus does come again, until his kingdom will go on forever. That is our role, is to continue to bring that goodness into the world, to continue to fight against that evil. You see, my friends, these readings, they aren't dark. They aren't dark at all. But in fact, they're hopeful. Why are they hopeful? Because they tell us, because of him, because of what he did on the cross. Right, that eternal struggle, that eternal battle, it's already been fought. And the really good news is, we've already won.